This is In the News for February 26, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin with KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First story today, emergency rule declared in the Philippines. This is from Reuters, written by Manny Magado and John O'Callaghan. President Gloria Macapagal Arroyo declared emergency rule in the Philippines on Friday after the military said it foiled a coup attempt. But analysts criticized the move as unwarranted and potentially damaging to the economy. Talk of plots against Arroyo, who survived a crisis last year over allegations of vote rigging and corruption, has been running high around this week's anniversary of the 1986 People Power Revolt that overthrew dictator Fernando Marcos. Chief of Staff Michael Defensor said, quote, "While we may have nipped it in the bud, there is still clear and present danger," end quote. He said 8 to 10 politicians and military officers were believed to be behind the plot but did not identify them. Sources in the security forces said the alleged financiers and plotters included deposed President Joseph Estrada, former Colonel and Senator Gregorio Honasan, former Budget Secretary Salvador Enriquez, a former nun, and 5 retired officers. There have been a dozen coup attempts in the Philippines in the past 20 years, but some analysts say Arroyo's government plays up threats to ward off would-be plotters and win public sympathy. Earl Moreno of the Institute of Political and Electoral Reform said, quote, "The government is overreacting," end quote. Security forces were on full alert, and the presidential palace fortified with sandbags, shipping containers, and tanks. Police used fire hoses and batons to disperse about 5,000 protesters, including nuns and priests, near a shrine that was a focal point of the anti-Marcos revolt and another in 2001 that ousted Estrada. The demonstrators fought back and threw stones. In the capital's Makati Financial District, riot police moved in to break up a rally by about 5,000 protesters who had chanted anti-Arroyo slogans peacefully for several hours. Emergency rule, which allows arrests without warrants and an extension of detention without charge, is a very sensitive issue in the Philippines after 9 years of martial law under Marcos. Arroyo said, the president, quote, "This is my warning to those conspiring against the country. The full force of the law will fall on your betrayal," end quote. Again, this article is out of Reuters, written by Manny Magado and John O'Callaghan, and a note. You can get more information on the Philippines and perhaps some of the issues that may have led to this declaration of emergency, state of emergency, by the president by going to radioforall.net. There are a series of interviews done there by me, KSOWLP, so search for KSOW, and there are interviews of folks who have been to the Philippines and talking about at least 4 of the different provinces and the conditions that people are living under and the repression and human rights violations that have been ongoing for years. Our next story is from the Associated Press, written by Wendy Benjaminson. UAE, or United Arab Emirates, gave $1 million to Bush Library. A sheikh from the United Arab Emirates contributed at least $1 million to the Bush Library Foundation, which established the George Bush Presidential Library at Texas A&M University in College Station, Texas. The UAE owns Dubai Port Company, which is taking operations from London-based Peninsular and Oriental Steam Navigation Company, which operates 6 U.S. ports. A political uproar has ensued over the deal, which the White House approved without congressional oversight. The donations were made in the early 1990s for the library, which houses the papers of former President George Bush, the current president's father. The list of donors named Sheikh Zayed bin Sultan Al Nahyan, and the people of the United Arab Emirates as one donor in the $1 million or more category. The amount of the gift grants them recognition on the engraved donor wall in the library entrance or on the paving bricks that line the library's walkways, according to library documents. Roman Papaduik, chairman of the Bush Library Foundation that collects donations, said he could not discuss details of the gifts except to say the amount, category, and whether it was before or after 1997. The chief executive of the Dubai company, Ahmed Bin Suleim, did not donate individually. The hundreds of large donors include longtime Bush associates, including Vice President Dick Cheney and other administration officials, as well as business titans such as Enron Corporation founder Kenneth Lay, and big Republican donors. Other Arab donors include the state of Kuwait, the Bandar bin Sultan family, the Sultanate of Oman, King Hassan II of Morocco, and the Emir of Qatar. The former Korean Prime Minister and China also gave tens of thousands of dollars to the library. Again, that's from the Associated Press, written by Wendy Benjaminson. And finally today, a press release from Friends of the Earth, dated yesterday, February 23rd. Dubai and toxic tank cars. What are Bush's priorities? Statement of Brent Blackwelder, President of Friends of the Earth. This is out of Washington, D.C. The Congress and the press are up in arms about President Bush's tone-deaf defense of the $6.8 billion deal to sell the operation and security of six major American ports to DP World, a firm owned by the government of the United Arab Emirates, without even going through with the mandated 45-day review process. But no one should be surprised that the president cannot hear the public outcry about this latest deference to business interests in the face of concerns about protecting the American public from acts of terrorism. Just look at what Bush was already doing in our nation's capital to prevent the D.C. Council from taking action against the threat of toxic tank cars. A Navy study found that an attack on one chlorine tank could kill or injure as many as 100,000 people in a half hour in the district. On February 1, 2005, the D.C. Council enacted a law requiring railroads to route such dangerous cargoes around the district. Bush signaled his preference for protecting business interests over protecting the security of the people of Washington by sending his Justice Department to court to overturn the D.C. law. When U.S. District Court Judge Emmett G. Sullivan demolished their arguments in a decision upholding the law, Bush and the railroads appealed, where they succeeded in blocking implementation of the law. By a twist of fate, one of the railroads fighting the D.C. City Council is none other than CSX. Treasury Secretary John Snow, who signed off on this purchase, was formerly the head of CSX before he joined the cabinet. A year after Snow joined the cabinet, CSX sold off its overseas port operation to DP World for $1.23 billion. As chair of the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., Secretary Snow presided over the committee's approval of the port's deal. The Bush administration is quite a cozy little world. If only these officials were as concerned about protecting Americans as they appear to be about keeping the wheels of commerce turning. Again, that's a press release and a statement by Brent Blackwelder, president of the Friends of the Earth. This has been in the news for February 26, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. Talk to you next time.